gambling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slow Down Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. About 5 minutes into hour two. Marcus Hirsch will join us in a moment. And as soon as Casey raises him on line and give you the rest of the lineup. Marcus, James Scully will join us this hour, and then Scott Shapiro. So a lot of handicapping in the actually pretty much handicapping in the next hour and change, because after Scully and Shap, we'll talk to Callie Francois down at Laurel, and we'll look at those stakes, including the long running to Francis Dash. It's a big match series. In fact, I thought about reaching out to Alan Foreman and getting an update on everything match related. And frankly, I I grew concerned that I would go careening off into HISA territory with Alan. So I said, let me get Callie in here and have her join us. A reminder again, I see that I just got the BIC, ntra.com/NHC/BeatBIC. And I'll put that up shortly at the website and at all the various links that you can find me. But they do have both the Saturday and Sunday races, the Sanford Stakes tomorrow and the Quick Call. Actually, there's a typo. They're calling it the Quick Recall Stakes, but we'll fix that. I give a pick and I give an alternate. So either come along with me to get qualified or pick a different horse, and if the horse wins, you qualify that way. And you'll have 8 weeks of qualification before the September 17th finale to make it to the NHC. Marcus Hirsch standing by from the Daily Racing Forum. And we talked going into Indiana last week, big Indiana Derby Day. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. A quick recap from, I know it's 6 days ago, but Indiana, some Indiana thoughts about how things turned out?
It had a large handle, I remember that.
Yeah, they did.
And the Derby got a very low buyer. It was slower than the Oaks. I don't know really what to make of that. Because the actuator, the winner, had run fast in his previous start. I think he and Best Actor are pretty good. I'd probably rate the race higher than the speed figure itself. I mean, I know it's not always great to go against the figures when it's kind of that straightforward, but yeah, I think that might be a little better. I don't think either one of those is going to be a horse to the challenge the very leaders of the division, but both of them are lightly raced and progressive, I think. The Interstate Daydream, you know, really had to work to beat Runaway Wife, but they were a mile in front of the third horse in the Oaks. Still, I would have liked to have seen Interstate Daydream separate herself a little more if she was going to rise up and be an immediate grade one level performer. And then Cox was talking about focusing on the Cotillion, which is way off. I don't know what the plan is in between. And then finally, I think it's worth noting that Ivar, who benefited from four scratches, which moved him from post 12 to post 8, did make a successful 2022 debut. Good to see him back on track after he had to be scratched twice. Well, the first scratch in the Maker's Mark was more about he just wasn't quite ready yet. And then he had a little foot problem before the Turf Classic. He'll be aimed at the Breeders' Cup Mile. Where he was third last year. He's a really good horse, and it was nice to see him come back running for Paulo Lobo.
Well, in addition to tracking Indiana, I noted with interest that Colonial has fallen into your peg on the roulette wheel.
Oh yeah, I've done that a couple of years now. I do the analysis and I do the coverage, and their opening week was good. I just finished the analysis for Monday, which has two turf sprint stakes. At Monday's excellent, and an Argentine horse for Ignacio Correa's named Didia, who is really good. She won two group ones last year to end her time down there by open length, including the Copa de Plata, which she just galloped in. She's in an allowance race. So they're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're giving away with purses, with stakes, excuse me, more than $600,000 a day. Damon's Mound, the hot two-year-old, is there for Michelle Lovell, who has a favorite in both of the turf sprint stakes on Monday and just might in Change of Control. And I think Colonial is a fun place to bet. I'm going to offer them compliments because on Monday, their video race presentation was not very good. They had no split screen and a tight pan shot where you couldn't see a bunch of the horses, and they were switching camera angles on the far turn in some races for no apparent reason. I've mentioned this to Jill Byrne, and she said she'd talk to the people who were doing the video the next morning, and lo and behold, in one day, they got it all squared away, which is great to see people caring enough about the way the races look to their customers to actually try to present them in the best manner they can.
Well, and you know, Jill certainly, when it comes to the TV presentation, she's we kind of touched on her familiarity with not just Mid-America Racing, but I mean she. Able to help recruit. She traveled all winter and spring to get people to consider coming to Colonial and taking stalls. So a lot of things. Looking forward myself to being down there a week from Monday for Colonial Cup Day. And I did notice I know you started out with the best bet on Monday because I saw Determined Kingdom you and Jessica Paquette both landing on Determined Kingdom, and you guys
and
cut the price in half.
Everyone else in the world. No, I did really well the first 3 days. I mean, 3 days, but everything I liked was running well, almost without exception, and I feel like I had a good handle on those races, and if I do, probably a lot of other people do, too. I mean, I just find a lot of the product at various places these days feels cobbled together and difficult to understand. It doesn't have an internal logic to it the way that race is used to more often. But that's not how I felt with most of those colonial races. And it always, to me, it's just a different feeling when you don't feel kind of lost at sea, when you have some moorings that you feel comfortable, you know, standing with and developing opinions around.
Well, anybody, as we said with Jill, and as we touched on, really every day early in the week, just, you know, looking at their cards, if you like turf racing, you're going to get a majority on a daily basis of their card is turf, you know, six, seven turf races some days. And you got nice big full fields and interesting. It's an interesting mix of horses from, you know, from Mid-Atlantic and Mid-America. It makes, and coming up from Florida too.
Yep, lots of Floridians. I find that interesting. The cross pollination from circuits, and it seems to work pretty well for them.
Well, that gets us into the weekend, Marcus, and no West Coast racing. Should be a beneficial to Del Mar when they get ready to start filling out their cards. This nice break between Los Al and Del Mar. Meanwhile, Saratoga opens yesterday, and we've got four terrific first few days. And I see that part of the game plan, you took an interest, obviously, in the two stakes tomorrow. Why don't you run down your game plan attack tomorrow?
Right. Well, there wasn't a whole lot to choose from. Laurel was the other place, obviously. They have several places.
Right.
And I did dip my toe in those waters. But, I mean, the Diana has always been one of my favorite races, so I wasn't going to miss an opportunity to look closely at that. And I like the race because I like an Italian. Who's 6-1 on the line. Maybe, I mean, I don't see her getting a lot of support just in, you know, people talking about the race. I thought the line seemed too high to me, especially vis-a-vis Rougier and technical analysis, both listed at 3, but maybe I'm misreading things. I mean, Bleecker Street, I think, is going to be the favorite. You know, she's 7-7, so on and so forth. I always think I take the finishing times over the Belmont turf course with a grain of salt because these are typically like among the fastest anywhere in North America. Everyone seems to finish a little faster than I can truly believe. But they did her last quarter mile, I believe, in the New York was 21:83. And there's no doubt she finished with a lot of verve off a slow pace. That being said, I mean, Family Way is in good form this year. It was an okay field, but Rougier didn't run her best. And even though, you know, she cleared the grade one hurdle, if you just go back through all the horses she's beaten, and obviously she's beaten them all, Fluffy Stocks and Handy Woods, who won last weekend at Indiana, and Rocky Sky. I mean, these are not... she had a good win over Lady Spite Spear in the Endeavor. I'll give her that. Lady Spite Spear did run very well. Was it last weekend? 2 weekends ago, beating Crystal Cliffs at Woodbine.
Yeah.
In any case, I just think that Bleecker Street has done. She's had so much improvement already this year, and I think that, you know, with her glittering record, that's kind of inherent underlay material. And cutting back to 9 furlongs, I think if the course is like firm and fast playing, I don't know if that's going to be like perfect for her. Meanwhile. I mean, technical analysis is maybe better at 4 than 3. She's going to have to be because I don't think she was quite this class last year. She did get an easy lead in the Gallerette, which was probably a target race off a lesser comeback run in the Plenty of Grace. All credit to her for doing that, but I don't think she's going to get the same sort of trip here. And the Dolphin horse, Creative Flair, is fine. I just don't think she's anything like Altica was last year. And then we're down to like Delica, who's a nice horse in her own right. I mean, it would be a massive upset if she were to win this race. And then Brown's other horse, In Italian, who I'm a fan of. I mean, I know that she got a pretty easy lead in the Honey Fox, but she definitely made the most of it. Wakanaka has come back and run a second in the Distant Game. It's a pretty nice horse. She handled her comfortably. And then the Distaff Turf Mile came over that Churchill course, which was absolutely crushing it. Like speed horses or 2 days. She was, I think, the only horse on Friday or Saturday Derby week who had any success going forward and being anywhere close to the rail. Meanwhile, the horse that beat her, Speak of the Devil, ran, I would say, probably the best race of her life. She was absolutely phenomenal. She ran the turn like an absolute demon. I think that was a good loss, and I think In Italian's Just a Game was, I mean, she didn't lose anything in defeat to me. She was sent on a suicide mission chasing Legs Galore, who sent a sprint pace. And I thought An Italian would sit a few lengths back and just kind of wait and get a run at her at the upper stretch. But instead, she attacked her at the 5/16 pole. Obviously went far too fast for her own good and had nothing left when Regal Glory came to her in mid-stretch. I think she's really good. I think that the last two races has not gone to her favor. Here, she's either going to be on the lead or sitting right outside technical analysis. I think either way, she's going to get a good trip. The question, I suppose, is 9 furlongs. She is a Dubawi, which definitely helps in that regard. But, you know, the female family is sprinter, miler, Australian blood. So I just think that this is the right race and spot for her to see out that trip. And I like her quite a bit.
I have fallen into I won't call it a habit, but whenever this kind of opportunity presents itself, I look harder at the horses of Chad Brown's when there's multiple entries, and the ones that aren't as obvious, it seems that on a regular basis, he gets invaluable black type, and you know this is a grade one.
Yeah. She needs a grade one, exactly. Yeah. I think this is her race. This was supposed to be Shantasara's race, who is like,
that's right.
I remember in the spring before her first start and only start this year, it seems he pointedly mentioned that I asked him what Shantasara's best distance was, and he said a mile and an eighth, so I'd be even hesitating. So that immediately spoke to the Diana, but I just think that things are set up for, I mean, maybe In Italian's not good enough, but to me, like you're saying, everything points to her being the right one on the day.
Talk about a shockingly full field of 2-year-olds in the Sanford.
Well, they're losing one at least. You'd have to think there'd be more than one. Who is this horse? Prove Right. I saw he's in at Colonial next week, so I assume he's going to run there. Yeah, it's just like, 3 Sanfords. Here's another line where my opinion differs. I think Forte will be shorter. I hope that he's 5-2. People are high on Andiamo Alforense, and I liked his race fine. But he did lead on a sloppy track. That doesn't mean that he's not good. It just means that can be beneficial. Meanwhile, Forte just has every bit of resemblance to Witt, who aired in this race a year ago for Pletcher Off. Exactly the same pattern. He ran in the same maiden race, basically, at Belmont. Upon watching Forte again yesterday and 2 days ago or whenever it was, he was a little greener than I had first realized. But I don't mind that at all. I just think that 5/8 is too short for this horse. I think he's ready to run, but he wasn't that fast out of the gate, and everything came at him kind of quick. He didn't run perfectly straight in the stretch either, which just means more reason he could improve. But what I thought was especially notable is the 12.17 final 8. I mean, you see first-time starting 2-year-olds in May have the best part of their 5-furlong race be the last eighth of a mile, really. I mean, usually the horses that win off, you know, they just go to the front and decelerate but have to put everything away by the eighth pole. This horse got better the farther he went. So I think the added furlong is really going to work in his favor. There's a lot of speed in the race. I think he'll be fine sitting behind. I just don't know what the price is going to be. But I think he's easily the most likely winner.
It'll be just nice to see a group that size. You know, even the Nick Tamaro earlier were talking about the Jersey Bred as you know, a potential price inclusion for a piece, and
maybe.
I think this bodes well going forward.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I know Damon's Mound is aimed at the next one, so we'll see.
And, yes,
what Gulfport too, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, so if Forte runs to my expectations and you get Gulfport and Damon's Mound, then we are going to have a really nice race in the Saratoga Special, too.
Let's talk about the Big Dreyfus, the namesake race for wonderful George A. Hale, the longtime racing official and racing office exec in Maryland. And this is...
Patrick Hoare as the likely favorite, but I picked a horse that you... A name you probably weren't thinking of one. I think she'll be lower than that. But I do think she'll be a fair price, and there's some decent races up there, and I think people are just discounting it because no one was paying attention.
Very good. Game plan each and every Saturday. And, Marcus, we also occasionally bring up Hong Kong with you. Everything comes to a seasonal close on Friday night, tonight.
Sunday, right?
No, I think it's, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Or tomorrow, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I keep thinking it's Thursday. It's all over. The endless season, but they start back up in, not too long in September.
6 weeks. Yeah.
I haven't, I can offer you nothing. I mean, I know nothing about it yet.
That's all right. You're keeping tabs of enough. keeping you busy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, I look at all the features on the cards. I don't have time to dig into every race. But
sure.
I mean, even Wednesdays at Happy Valley, you know, that's a pretty good time for people who want to play in the morning. And those races are, I mean, you get a full field in almost every race. And once you get a hang for the way the handicap system works and the way, you know, the differences between the two courses and stuff, I mean, it's a shame that the timing isn't better, because it's one of the most appealing wagering products in the world.
Very much so, and it's been a great season. Marcus, good luck this weekend, and we'll check in with you as the summer progresses.
Yeah, gonna be in New Jersey next week.
I am. I'll see you there.
See you there.
Excellent. So a live visit with Marcus next week. Always. Well, we'll make up for not having you live in at Churchill.
All right, I'll give you my agent's number when we hang up here.
DRF Hirsch, everybody, and Marcus does such a good job, and I love his approach and his opinion. He's got very frequently just got a little different way of looking at races. We had expected, we had hoped to hook up a Mike Beer visit for this morning, but he's taping a bunch of DRF stuff for the weekend. So we're gonna have to figure out a system to lock in some Mike Beer visits. All right, because yesterday, if you listened to Dave Grenig, I promised a steady diet of Beer and Grenig and Welsh. So I will figure that out somehow. Meantime, James Scully is going to join us next, and Scott Shapiro to fill out the hour. Callie Francois, Hour 3, and Hammer, and hope to get a visit in with Popo as well. Get a quick glance at Form to Win. Had a strong, actually, Form to Win, strong showing beginning of the week when it came to the Colonial Stakes, right? And also there was the Colonial, was it on Tuesday? Yeah, it was Tuesday that laid out a very nice try. So, Form to Win. We'll talk to Papo. All right. Looking to see if Andy, let's see, it's, yeah, 10:30. Let's take our first check and see if we've got scratches to help everybody with their pick six. Not yet. No assistance yet. All right. So hang in there on that front. And in the next 90 minutes, we certainly, probably in the next 40 or so, by 11:10, we should have it. They were a little late yesterday coming out with the scratches. For those of you, while we're waiting for James, again, BeatBick, it's open for you to sign in and sign up and make your picks. James Scully joining us. And by the way, also, I didn't bring it up with Joe Longo, the Saturday Belmont contest, $300 buy-in, $200 bankroll, $100 to the prize pool, and very popular and a lot of fun. And then, of course, the Thursday and Sunday opportunities for the Low Roller contest, the Seth Merrow Low Roller. We're going to put Seth's name on the Low Roller. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Some early impressions, first day impressions yesterday, Saratoga?
Well, I thought the main track played pretty fair. You know, we saw some horses rallying from off the pace and some front running performances. So, yeah, I thought it was a real fair track. Saw wire to wire win on the turf. So, obviously one deep closer as well from way back in like race five or six. I forgot that horse's name. But both courses played fairly, the turf and the main track, and got some good racing this weekend.
It was interesting, even right in the first, going the nine furlongs, where we're so accustomed to seeing horses, win on the front end. And then we got a surprise rainstorm. And I thought to myself, well, this is going to give itself up to a wire job. But that's not what happened. And in fact, there were four horses headlong to the wire. And I thought that was a good sign. And I agree. I got a chance to walk across the track before the fourth race, and even with that rain, the main track was just perfect. It had a nice deep cushion. There was just the natural moisture underneath the cushion, so a little bit of wind and a little bit of sun, and you ended up with a really good fast track all day, and the turf course, that rain couldn't have hurt. To be honest, we really haven't had that much inclement weather, and we had that spate of really hot temperatures. So fast and firm, and it does appear, James, we're going to be that way all the way through the weekend.
Yeah, that's what the weather forecast really, I was looking at it early in the week, and it really has improved significantly. Be interesting to see. I think speed might play a little bit better over the weekend because obviously that the track maintenance crew had to be cognizant of the threat of rain. I think there was some rain on Wednesday, or at least Wednesday morning, and then on Thursday as well. So now they know there's no rain coming, so they don't have to worry about that at all.
Well, and I'm just looking again. Yeah, and in fact, temperatures are going to start to increase. 83 today, 86 Saturday, 88 on Sunday. A absolute great first 10% of the Saratoga season. There's, of course, Ellis well underway now, and really will take you anywhere you want to go. James, some thoughts about the weekend?
I'll give you a few horses in Saratoga, then swing to Ellis and give you one last play here today. Talking okay. about speed and race two tomorrow, I like number one, Closing Deals from the rail. That horse last time, I really liked the speed he showed from an outside post. I like the way that this filly has broken in her last two starts and shown improved speed for Rudy Rodriguez. There's some horses too on the outside that could be forwardly placed, but I anticipate Closing Deals getting a jump on him and running a good race in this spot for Rodriguez and Jose Ortiz. She's 4-1 on the morning line.
That's the one in the second race tomorrow, Closing Deals.
Okay, and then I'll jump straight to, race number seven. I know reinvestment risk is going to be a single on a lot of pick six, pick five, pick three wagers. And, you know, it's obviously $120,000 allowance purse. So, he's running for a good chunk of change off back-to-back second to grade one races. But I'm just a little worried. I'm wondering about the trip he gets in there. This race does not have a lot of pace to me on paper. Number seven, River Dog, is a horse that I will not only include into multi-race plays as a long-shot speed horse, but I will play him underneath reinvestment risk. I think he has a shot. He's sharp right now. He's 2-for-2 at the distance. I thought last time he did not break well in that race, in that Mr. Prospector at Monmouth. Got really embroiled in a speed duel that day. And if he breaks sharply with Jose or Ortiz, I think he's got a shot to outrun his odds on the front end. Like I said, he's a long shot to consider with the odds on reinvestment risk.
Very nice. River Dog. And Jose Ortiz and Kelly Breen. And, of course, Kelly later on in the Sanford with one of the main principals, Andiamo Afarenze. So Kelly Breen in town. What else are we looking at?
No strong opinion in the Diana. I'm going to say this in race nine. I know a lot of people are going to be leaning on Fort Ticonderoga, but I thought Growth Capital, who's run second in three straight races, just completely folded, a 16th or a little more from the wire, and he had everything his own way. If he gets that same trip, yeah, he could easily prove best as a favorite in here at short odds. But I think he'll get tested in this spot. I have some doubts going straight from a maiden win to this race, even though that was a fast maiden performance. Credit Event had everything his own way. Looked like a winner last time. He hung, I thought, real badly. I still thought that was a solid race. And there was a horse in there that had an absolute terrible trip that has enormous upside, in my opinion, and it's number two in Analogy. And granted, two starts back, he leads wire to wire on the turf at Aqueduct in late April. He didn't beat that tough of maiden special weight field that day in his second career start. But his first race at Gulfstream, he did run, I thought, a respectable fourth behind a couple of nice horses in Riot House, who has won two in a row, so, you know, came right back and won for Ward. And then Cousin Mayhem, who came back and looked good in his next start. And in that race on June 18th, that Saturday allowance at Belmont Park, Analogy absolutely missed a break, Steve. Got absolutely crunched, got pinched back. He was two lengths behind next to last early going. And as well, he rallied between horses. He had to split horses, tight quarters. He gets beat a neck. I think with a clean trip and second start against winners, he's eligible for a much improved effort. And I think it's interesting that Pletcher's going with Kendrick Carmouche back on him. It's almost like a betting stable type move, in my opinion, because if this horse was picking up Irad or Luis Saez or anybody like a high profile jock like that, his odds would be a lot shorter, in my opinion. His dam is a half sister to Al Mutawakkel and all these like good turf horses in this female family. I think this Analogy has upside this Medaglia d'Oro colt 10-1 in race nine.
I like it. Very nice. I think there's quite a few alternates in there beside the obvious. I brought up Setting of the Wise from Jason Barkley with Nick. I brought up Daunt from Bobby Roboto, who's getting a little bit of a makeover, first Lasix and blinkers. There's a lot going on in there. Mile and an eighth on the grass, on the inner, and then part of a nice sequence late tomorrow.
All right, and then in the Sanford, one more at Saratoga. you know, I agree with what Marcus was saying about Forte looking pretty special. I do have a little bit of concern, you know, that just the way that race, like, looked sort of, like, set up where I thought the second and third, really the third place finisher fell apart, and that runner-up with Bobby Boy came back, and I'll get to that in a second. Number three, I will use Forte in all multi-race wagers, but I'm going to include number three, Great Navigator. I really like the turn of foot he showed in that debut at Monmouth Park the first time out. That race had this third-place finisher, Roll Again Dancer. He's a two-year-old by Gervin. He came back and drilled Wasabi Boy, who ran second to Forte. And I just think that he flattered Great Navigator, because Great Navigator crushed him with an impressive turn of foot. Granted, he's a New Jersey bred. He's stepping up the stakes company. But at 12-1, he's the type that I'll be looking to use in both vertical and horizontal wagers. So I'm using the 3 and the 4 in race 10, the Sanford Stakes, Steve.
Very nice. And Nick also brought out some of the qualities of Great Navigator. Fun to have 12 horses in a race like the Sanford. All right, where are we going?
We're going to Ellis Park. We're going to start in race number 6. This is a non-winners of two other than allowance race on turf for Philly, three-year-old fillies. I thought the favorites were vulnerable in here. I didn't think it was a very strong field. Number 9, Bally Dreamin'. She exits she broke her maiden, I thought, real sharply two back at Oaklawn Park, dominated a decent field wire to wire by Open Lens that day, and came back and really ran a respectable fourth in a deep 10 horse allowance. That Static Fire really beat on the ones and twos nicely in that race. On the ones and twos, came back and drilled Tarabi, and then Tarabi came right back and won that stake race yesterday pretty nicely. So I really think that Static on the ones and twos are both legitimate, like, graded stakes type fillies. Unfortunately, on the ones and twos is sideline. That race was way tougher than the races these other horses are coming out of. That Bally Dreamin' is from the first crop of multiple Grade 1 winning turf miler, Bally Al-Bali. But more importantly, his dam is a sister to turf champion English Channel, and our other folder run is stakes placed on the turf. This filly could not be more bred for the grass, and she's going to turf off of a good allowance, off of a good fourth against a stakes quality foes in allowance race at Churchill, and she's 8-1 on the morning line. Number 9, Bally Dreamin', in race 6 at Ellis.
Well, and we should also, James, we should point out to people, when you bring up Static Fire in that race, Static Fire available today in the Coronation Cup for people. And, you know, her resume looks a little thinner than some of the others, but she's 2-for-2. And I used her. She's 8-1 today.
Yeah, I'll get to her here in a second. In race 8 at Ellis Park, I'll mention this real quickly. Number 6, Current. I think that the favorite in there, Bama Breeze, is vulnerable. I might use some other ones in there as well, but I like number 6, Current, for Brandon Van Bern. Real versatile type. As 4 of his 5 wins are on turf. I like him coming into this race off of that last race at Hawthorne. And then you mentioned earlier that 9th race at Ellis being part of the cross-country pick 5 at the maiden race on 5.5 furlong turf. Obviously, number 3, to me, Rather Be Lucky, is a serious threat on the front end with her speed in there for Al Stahl. One other horse, though, that I'll be using, I'll be paying attention even to what her odds are, is number 10, Get By. Because I thought her first 2 efforts were encouraging. And then I absolutely hated her trip from an outside post last time. I'm completely drawing a line through that race. I think she could appreciate the cutback at distance. I like the blinkers off move. And at 6-1 on the morning line, she's got some appeal. So I would use it. I would use in cross country pick 5 tickets, the 3 and the 10 in race 9 at Ellis, Steve.
Very good. Rather Be Lucky from Al Stahl, of course, 4-1, and Get By from Ian Wilkes, the 10, 6-1, and that's a big help for the cross-country pick five players. And to getting back to current for a minute, for those of you that are saying to yourself, why do I know that name? That's the same current, of course, that started his career with Todd Pletcher and was a, you know, has been a serious stake horse for a long time. Won the Bourbon as a two-year-old and, you know, tried dirt. And people may forget he was fifth in the Florida Derby as a three-year-old, actually. That was in the Maximum Security Bodie Express Code of Honor Florida Derby. And then he went back to the turf and he's amassed, almost $500,000 in Ernie. Brittany Vandenberg does a nice job. And, of course, with husband Chris Amy, riding her charges, so it's a family business for the Vandenberg Amy family.
All right, and then last week I gave out Macron 1360 last second Friday play. Today I'm going race 8, the Coronation Cup at Saratoga. I'm taking number 7 Static Fire. Loved her win. Went back and watched that race again last September on closing weekend at Saratoga. And like I said, that she couldn't have been more impressive to me last time. I think on the ones and twos, it's a real shame she got hurt because I thought she was really headed for some good races off of her next effort, some big efforts and stakes this summer for Norm Cassidy. So I just think this Static Fire is a great at stakes win type. And I'll just say this about Twilight Gleeman. I'm always leery of these horses that are just so terrific as. Oh, she's already scratched? All right, well, never mind.
Yeah.
That's never my fact, price, they're, obviously.
Well, and so will potentially Marissa's Lady has come out as well. You can scratch the 1, 2, and 3 out of the Coronation Cup. Other than that, there's only two other runner scratches from the entire card. Obviously, scratch out the MTOs. I was going to do this in a second anyway, so since this came up, take out the MTOs from the card. Here are the live scratches. Actualize that Charlie Baker out of the Maiden 20, the 8-5 favorite, so a horse that you might have leaned on in the early multis, is out. Then comes the 1, 2, and 3 out of the Coronation Cup, Marissa's Lady, Ben Bang, and Twilight Gleaming, and then Analyze It. This is interesting. Chad Brown scratches Analyze It out of the Forbidden Apple, leaving Public Sector, who, you know, does figure prominently in there, along with Set Piece and Mira Mission. So there's your scratches on the pick six, and you know, certainly the Coronation Cup. I'm sure there were people that were, you know, leaning on Twilight Gleaming. Yesterday, Nick was totally against him her, as it happens, James.
Yeah.
So
I don't like those three, those horses that show all that class at two. Even her last win, I mean, she was lucky the wire came when it did. She hasn't run back to her two-year-old form in those two races, and I was looking forward to betting against her at short odds today.
James underscore Scully, 111, and the last second Friday push, LSFP, is Static Fire, that I could tell you were arcing toward anyway, but I had picked Marissa's Lady. I liked the 8-1 on her inside, and I thought Lady Scarlet was interesting. I'm going to have to reevaluate the Coronation Cup on the pace and everything else after those scratches. James, good luck this weekend, and we will talk to you ahead of Haskell next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, James. James Scully, folks. That was cool. Marcus is going to be on hand. I guess so. That means Greinich some years has gone down there for Haskell. And I didn't ask him yesterday, but I guess Marcus is going to make the trip. Very cool. So next week, Thursday and Friday at Monmouth, and then Saturday, obviously, race day. And then we'll head to Virginia, and we'll be at Colonial on the 25th. The 26th, I mentioned, we're running up to Maryland, not far, really, from Colonial, where, you know, where the Outer Bank is, and we're going to see the pony swim. So I'm not really sure how we're going to what we're going to do. If you're going to maybe bring the show from the pony swim, I don't know yet. But then we'll be back at Colonial on the 27th. So summer road trip. That's the only summer road trip. I was kidding about going to Evansville, going to the pea patch. But no Del Mar this summer. So once we get this one through, we'll have the full run down to Labor Day. But then after the Labor Day, long trip, we'll be in Kentucky really the first 2 weeks of September. Going to combine pretty much all three major events between Kentucky Downs, Churchill, and the Keeneland Sale. So 2 weeks, give or take, in Kentucky. From, I think Tina is Tina has gotten wind of this trip, and when we were driving from Sanibel to Louisville in April, and when we came through Nashville, and then we drove right past Kentucky Downs. I said, well, there it is. And she goes, oh, my God, you said it was close to Nashville. But I didn't really, she thought, well, close to Nashville, that could mean 2.5 hours away. And she's like, I could really come in. I said, yeah, you could. And so we very well may have a little bit of Nashville. Tina wants to go. She's been to Nashville. But said she was. They were only there like a night or two, and years ago. So she's aching for a Nashville weekend. So I might be hard pressed to say no. And that makes me. That made me. Well, I guess mentioning as we wait for Scott, I'll wish Tina a happy birthday. It's Tina's birthday, and one of the strange side effects of the Saratoga expansion to these four extra days, it invariably now incorporates Tina's birthday. It's been at least 1 year where it opened on the birthday, and so it's kind of a, we're hectic and going to the track and this and that, and I kind of committed to, spending the day, because she's going to head to Rochester. I got the weekend free, so because she's going to go to Rochester to see the grandkids. And she got the cutest little video from Lennon singing her happy birthday, which is so cute. Waiting on Shap. Where's our man? Is he there? Not yet. All right. All right, we'll wait it out. So again, here, while we wait for Scott, let's see how the pace was affected in the coronation, because certainly Marissa's Lady and Twilight Gleaming and even Ben Bang, who most recently was off the turf at Monmouth, but she's a horse that has been on or near the lead in all virtually all of her races. So a lot of speed from the inside is extracted from this Coronation Cup. And does that open things up, frankly, for Lady Scarlet and Static Fire? Sweet Solare, too. Horacio De Paz, who chooses to run here and had entered for yesterday and stayed stayed in this race. That's a filly that has won on the lead, broke the maiden actually at Aqueduct in the slop, and then again at Belmont. Might be that she's 2 for 2 on wet, so maybe that's her milieu. Static Fire and Lady Scarlet get some help here. A little less speed. Empress Tigris may just sit beautifully outside the open air outside box, where the air is fresh and clear, as Marty McGee says. Scott Shapiro, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for today. I think today is pretty challenging, and I actually think there's an outside chance, or maybe better, that we get a double carryover, as I know Nick alluded to with reinvestment conversation about reinvestment risk. But, yeah, I mean, I'm starting out in race three today with my first play in that state bred special 8 event over the inner turf. And I like Whistler's Honor in here for Jorge Abreu, third-time starter, second start of the three-year-old season. And I just think this horse, I don't think the past performances do this horse justice. The debut effort, raced against the flow. They ran 1-2 around the racetrack, got out of the gate slow. Tremendous gallop out, though, I think, which I would have thought would have going to set him up nicely for his next race. However, his next race didn't come until May 30th of this year, and he never got to run in that race when he got Lasix for the first time. Just got caught behind a wall of horses along the inside. Pretty much a non-effort, but I don't think there's the strongest contingent in here. Some horses that I've seen that have had plenty of chances, a couple that might, that are going to get the jump likely on Whistler's Honor, but I'm going to be keying Whistler's Honor and everything to start the card at, I believe, 9-2 on the morning line.
Well, the way Whistler's Honor is being touted, 9-2 is going to be a pipe dream. I mean, it's all over the place. Started yesterday with Nick Tamaro. Yeah.
I figured anybody that – it's one of those where it wasn't, blatant, obvious check trip, but anybody that does the work and watches replays regularly is going to see both of them and, both the trips. So I knew I wasn't, finding a cure for cancer here with Whistler's Honor, but I was hoping maybe you could find that fall under the radar, we'll key in the pick five and pick four and hopefully get some of that 9-2 morning line value, being later in the sequence, but definitely a horse that I'm keying in on today. Unfortunately, it sounds like the price won't be very good. Then we get to the start of the pick six, and there's some challenging races to start this off. But I think in race five, I'm gonna take a stand and go too deep in here with Gooch Gobrav and Lord of War, both dropping in class at a starter allowance event, actually the same one. Lord of War, not much of an excuse, was three wide in that race, but maybe needed the race, and I think we'll appreciate the class drop, should be involved early under Dylan Davis. And then Gooch Gobrav's in for a tag for the first time for Danny Gargan, whose horses ran well yesterday. This horse was just caught wide throughout and then made a middle move in that race. And I don't think the last place finish really tells the true story. And now you get Irad and an inside draw. So I'm 2-9 in the fifth. And then in the sixth, or I don't know if you wanted to add anything in the fifth, but who you were on.
No, you're good.
Okay. And then in the sixth, this is a race I'm going to open up, Steve. I think the three morning line favorites are horses I'm willing to leave off my ticket, which might be somewhat aggressive. And Straw in the Gold, who I think will run his race, but I think when he runs his race, there's usually one better. Just kind of one of those horses that runs with him to the wire. I think he's beatable. I think Ruse is a little bit beatable. He needs the lead, in my opinion, to be at his best. And I don't think he's going to be loose in this spot. And I think Great Nuts Warrior is vulnerable, even though he could move forward in his second start off the bench. So my top pick in there is is another Gargan on the outside, Regal Speaker. You get Tyler Gaffalione, a little bit of a cutback, back to a firm course. And I'm also going to use Dancing with the Stars in there, Ghost Giant, and Barrage and Saratoga Flash. But I think that's a race where we could really separate a little bit from the public.
Yeah, I think it's a fun race. All right, I'm not in disagreement with the approach, certainly.
Yeah, then in the Coronation Cup, disappointed like James and others with the James was fired up today. By the way, great energy. I was not that's unexpected, but even a tick above his normal great energy. Loved listening. With Twilight Gleaming coming out a little disappointed, but it just makes me like Static Fire that much more. You talked about now the pace with Ben Bang and Marissa's Lady coming out too, and I mean, I thought this horse was ultra impressive, just like James said, and it broke from the rail in two straight starts as a young horse. It had no problem with that, wiring out fields and beating good fields. And Empress Tigress will be my other horse in there. And then in the Forbidden Apple, I think Set Piece is the horse to beat. I respect Mirror Mission, but, you know, echoing the sentiments of other sharp handicappers before me, I think Public Sector is sitting on a career best race and not going to get that morning line price, but even half of it or 7-2, I think would be pretty fair.
Excellent. What else?
And tomorrow, and I'll be adding Del Mar to the repertoire once we get started. In fact, that'll be even more, I mean, I'll be doing both tracks, so we can add that in.
Cool.
To the mix. Tomorrow, just a couple of thoughts. I'm with Marcus in the in Italian camp. I just, you know, I feel like she's a horse on the improve. I don't think she's had favorable voyages. I know the loss to Speak of the Devil, much of the race. And I don't think she lost anything in defeat. And then last time, I thought she ran huge on the front end. And now you get Joel to the outside. I know there's questions on who, you know, which Chad will go to the lead and what maybe Delica being involved with the pace. It's a little murky. But if she's anywhere near the 6-1 and is going to get overlooked, I think maybe she can take a step forward here, and it could be the right one for her in the Diana. And in race 10, the Sanford, I'm all in on Mo Strike. I know Todd Pletcher owns this race, and Forte certainly makes a lot of sense. But I thought Mo Strike was kind of a professional, not wow, 2-year-old winner. And Nick mentioned Brad Cox's stats, second start off a maiden win. And, you know, Brad's got tremendous stats in just about every category, but it's not really a major part of his program to have these horses win in these early 2-year-old races. If they win, great, but they're, you know, more set up to win down the road or in races like this. And Mo Strike, I mean, the outside draws in these 5 and 5.5 furlong races at Churchill with these 2-year-old events, they were no bargain. If you missed the break at all, you got professionally just by 3/4 of a length, but he was determined in the end, which was what I like to see. And I just expect him to take a big step forward with an extra half furlong, the start under his belt, and I think Mo Strike, I don't know if we're going to get 8-1, I doubt we will, but to me, Mo Strike is a play in the 10th in Sanford tomorrow.
Very good. Yeah, there's plenty of support for Mo Strike tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I think probably 4-1 is probably a lot more realistic, maybe even be the second or third choice, but tough morning line, no disrespect to David and, you know, having them at 8-1. A lot going on in the race. And like you said, good bull field for a race of this nature.
Shap, that's it? We good?
Yeah, we're good. We'll get back. We'll go coast to coast starting next week. But just Saratoga this week as I'm getting back into stride here after a little bit of a chill period.
Freshening. Races, top of hour 3 upon us. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and sprint to the wire. Callie Francois down at Laurel. We'll go to Anne Arundel County and talk about the DeFrancis Dash and everything going on down there. They got the Match Series races. We'll come back as well with Hammer, and we'll get a couple of form to win plays from Popo, too, before the morning's out. Day 2 at Saratoga and first full weekend. Back after this.
On Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve 200. Visit NairaBets.com.